Good morning, brothers, sisters. I greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning, a name that is far above any other name. Amen. Thank you, Ray, for just teaching in that this morning. And I pray and trust that is the heart of every one of us in here, that to draw closer to Jesus. The song that we sing On number 8 here, it says, "Together we seek Thee. We turn to Thee face, Thy face. Great God of salvation, redemption and grace. For this whole congregation has knowledge of sin. We plead that we need Thee for the brightness within." And it says, "Lord, how can we seek Thee unless Thou draw us? Lest Thou draw us. For we have rejected and broken the law, but in goodness Thou leadest all men to repent, through faith in the Savior, the Son Thou hast sent." And it says, "Lord, how can we praise Thee enough for Thy love in sending this Savior from heaven above? When by faith each poor sinner becomes God's own heir, together as equals salvation we share." And the last verse says, "Together we seek Thee. We turn to Thy face, great God of salvation, great giver of grace. Thou hast sought us and saved us and showed us the right. We faithfully follow Thee as children of light." And beautiful songs. I mean, we sing songs a lot of times, and some mornings some stick out above others. And this one stuck out and just blessed me this morning. And that, may that be our heart. That last line that we sing, "Together we seek Thee, we turn to Thy face. The great God of salvation, great giver of grace. Thou hast sought us and saved us and showed us the right." Then it says, "We faithfully follow as children of light." And I trust that is the heart of us in here this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Another year has passed by so quickly. And I mean, it just seemed like years just roll by. And changes come, as Steve was asked, talking about that a little bit, what changes bring each year. And you just ponder back on this past year. He mentioned Vic that passed away. Many other men that we knew died this year. Each year, I mean, we continue on. They continue on passing on. They're dying. And it's bringing changes to the families and whoever not. But yeah, we are nearing the end, and praise the Lord. But another year, and often Steve talks about New Year's resolutions. I made a lot of those in my life. And this being the New Year's Day, I mean, what a better way to start out the year of preaching, right? But, just pray for me, as God did give me a message, but it seemed like this was, a hard one to prepare for. I battled sickness all week long and the cold. I'm a lot better, but still have the head cold, chest cold yet. But pray for me as I preach this. I mean, I pray that that God will use this for His glory. That He can use it for the kingdom of God. Before I start, I think we'll just pray, and then I'll begin. Eternal, righteous Father, as we do bow here this morning, we thank You for just another year, Lord. I know that each year brings changes into the family. And some there's loved ones that die, and some that they grow up and they get married and just move out of homes, and changes come. But yet, Lord, we welcome them. We welcome the Lord, because we know that the Scripture says that all things shall pass away and things will come and go. So we just thank You, Lord, for Your promises today. We ask You, Lord, today that You would allow us to remain faithful this year. That's the most important thing, Lord, that we would keep our focus on You this year, O God. We would not let the things of this world, we would not allow the things of this life to distract us and pull us in into the enemy's way, where Satan is going about seeking whom he can kill, steal, and devour. He's seeking who he can destroy. But Lord, we know that greater is He that is in us than the one that's in this world. So Lord, as long as we keep our gaze upon You and keep our focus on You and just trusting and believing in You, Lord, just allowing You to do that finished work, we know that You will preserve us into the end. As it says in John, that no man will be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. So we just thank You, Lord, for Your verses and for Your word and just for Your love today. We just want to commit this day into Your hands and ask You to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read a text here in Matthew 21. If you want to turn to that. Verse 28. And today, it's a little different message. I'm not going to be... I'm asking questions just for you to answer in your heart. There'll be many of those, and I'm going to be sharing some thoughts as well of how I feel that how the scripture lays it out. But the scripture is clear on everything. But you'll notice that me asking a lot of things today, and it's just for you to search your heart, search your life, just to ask God, where am I at? Who is this? Who am I? But my title today that I want to preach on is, "What son are ye?" As I read through here from 28 to 32. And I know you can take this text here in a few different ways, but this let's read through here, then that's my text, "What son are ye?" It says, "But what think ye? A certain man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented and he went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' He answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. Whether of the twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, 'The first.' Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you seen it, repented not afterwards, that you believe not." And I know you can take this text a few different ways. But we see here the first son, he did. What you see, he said no. He said, I go not. But we see he repented, and he went and did the will of the Father. And now the second son, as we've seen here, they're both sons. And are here today. They're both sons, and he said, "I'll go," and it said that he never went, and he went not, and he repented not. As you see throughout the scriptures, it seemed like he was maybe a slothful son, maybe one that said a lot of things, but yet did not do what he said, do what he was told. So that is where I get the text: "What son are ye?" You know, as far as saying, you know, Steve's talking about New Year's resolutions, and I know, as his son here said, you know, I'll go. You know, he maybe said a lot of things, and it made me think. And on this day, this time of the year, I made many resolutions. This is before I was born again. I remember making many promises and saying, I'm gonna do differently this year, God. I'm gonna quit this alcohol, and I even did some drugs after I was married. And I was living in a sports addict and being dishonest and had adulterate heart and all those things. I remember, you know, I know what God did want to change my life. He wanted me to be someone different. But I know that the longest it lasted was a day or so. Well, it depends on what the day came. If the day was on Monday, maybe it lasted until Saturday. But if it was on Friday, it was one day. And that was the best I could manage. Because the Spirit of God was not dwelling in me. I had not the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, that's who we are. And we are flesh. I was thinking about, you know, without the Spirit of God, we're going to go back to the dust. And I was thinking, I was talking to a brother the other night. I think this one star that I know, I think her name was Marilyn Monroe. She was a movie star, and she was held up high, and she was popular lady. But she died of a drug overdose, and she was in a room for many days before they found her. And when they found her, it said that she stunk. She was decaying. That's who we are without the Spirit of Jesus in us. without the power and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. So today, who are you? What are you? But before I get on this message, mainly this message here today is going to be for the believers in here, the ones that have been born again. But before I go on, and I know that there's some in here possibly that are at the age of accountability and never surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never heeded your life from the calling, because maybe it's your love of your sins, the entertainment, the world, whatever it may be. But we know that God is calling. God is calling every one of us into repentance, because it's not the will of God that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And today he says, the word of God says in here today, just before I go on my message, no man can serve two masters, for either he hates the one and loves the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He makes it very plain as you read through the Word of God here. And James, he makes it real clear. I mean, this. In James 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Then whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Think of that. If you're not born again, and you love the things of this world, the Word of God says that you are an enemy of God, and the love of God is not in you. And one more here. In 1 John, two, it says. That love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that is, you know, that is my heart today if you're in here. He says that if you love the things of this world and more than God, if you're not allowing God to do it, to do the transformation in your life, says that you hate him. You're a hater. So today, you do have life. You do have hope for you. And that's what our cry is, that you would today seek him while you still have breath. Ask the Lord to be your Savior, to be the Savior of your life. In Matthew 16, it says, he says that, and Jesus says to him, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what if a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here that shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom." And one more invitation here, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is a calling from Jesus this morning to those that are in here that are at the age of accountability and still have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I encourage you to seek. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added." So he wants us to seek him first. So I'm going to leave it with that on that behalf, and I'm going to turn the rest to us. And just as I go through here, I hope you hear my heart. Sometimes I have a hard time explaining myself and making sense, but I trust that you will hear my heart as I share here today. I just want to read 1 Corinthians 3, a few things out of there first before I get started. So let's just read the whole thing here. I wasn't going to, but I just thought, well, I should. Verse 1, it says, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, am not speaking to you as spiritual, but as carnal, and to as even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto you were not able to bear it, neither you are able, now are able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am a Paul, other I am Apollos, are you not both carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God give the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It says in verse 9, it's a beautiful verse, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or present things, things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. This is a beautiful chapter. To read through that. It says, we are the temple of the living God this morning. When the Spirit of God dwells within us, when we are born again, when we're a child of God, we are the temple of the living God. And he says, the things that we do will and it can defile us. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And the question is, what are some things that can defile the temple of God? And I just wrote some things down here as I go on here. And I know that if you're like I am, and in this life as we walk, yes, we do make mistakes, and I do. And there's times I need to fall on my knees and cry out to God and repent again. So we would defile. But the thing is, the difference, and when I ask, what son are you? We see the first son repented, the second son and never shared anything about him repenting. And he said, yeah, I'll go. He never went. So today, as we're walking with Jesus in here, many of us in here walk for 10, 12, 14, 16 years, some less, maybe even some more, I'm not sure. But are we still finding that sweet relationship with Jesus Christ this morning in our lives? Are we waking up and finding that and yearning for more of God, yearning for more of Jesus this morning? You know, Satan wants to rob that. He wants to rob that sweet fellowship that we had, you know, I can remember 13 years ago. I mean, it just seemed like I still have it today, but Satan, he is trying to sniff that out. He's trying to take that from me, and God forbid that I'm going to allow him to do that. But that's the question today. Are you still finding that sweet relationship that you had when you found him? The Bible says that don't let that first love, you know, leave you. And if it's the same today, praise the Lord. Now, are the sins of this world as sinful as they were back then? Are they still exceedingly sinful? I know that when most of it got born again. Yeah, I mean, I can remember the sensitivity that I had. It seemed like Satan wants to take that from me as well. Talking a little bit about, I wasn't going to really speak on that, but just far as what I mean by that, earlier in my life, just got born again, it was like a year, and something happened. We had an incident, I think, and maybe I even shared that here before, I don't know. But I had an incident, and I was sitting beside a Spanish guy, and I'll just share it real quick here. Jaden was just born, and he had a bad night. He didn't sleep all night, and I was tired, and we had about 40 minutes to go, and I asked the Spanish guy if he wants to drive. And he said, yeah, he'll drive. So I got in the back seat and went to sleep, and all of a sudden we had an incident. We had a crash. Someone pulled out in front of him, but all of a sudden he was sitting beside me back there. That's what he's doing. He said, well, he didn't have license. So when the cop come out, the cop wanted to know who the owner of the van, and I gave him my license, and he didn't ask who was driving and all that. But yet, I knew as soon as I did that it wasn't right. That it was not the heart of God. It was being deceptive. So he gave me his number, and he left, and I could not sleep. I mean, that night, and it just seemed like it bothered me. So finally, I just called him and told him, hey, I am. This is so-and-so. And he said, yeah, he remembers me. And I told him the whole story. And he asked, well, who did you tell? Did you tell anybody else? And I said, no. He said, okay, just keep it like that. That was the cop. But the sensitivity in the person's life, you know, when we're a newborn child, God doesn't want that to change in our lives, even though for 15, 20, 30 years down the road, that would change, that we'd be honest. And praise the Lord, I can say that still is in my heart. But yet, what I'm saying is Satan wants to take that from me. The other day, me and Loretta went to the restaurant, and we went to pay, and the lady said, you know, $8. And I said, no, it's $8. I said, that ain't right. And I said, well, you had two meals. She said, yeah, I got two meals. And I said, no, but it's more than that. And then she looked at it, and she said, oh, yeah, she forgot a children's meal or something. But then she said, well, thank you for telling us. So, you know, like, she was shocked that we'd do that. And I know that that's the heart of that you guys do that as well. But I'm just saying, let's not lose the sensitivity. But and why I say that, because I stand beside a Mennonite woman once at a Meijer checkout. And a lady, the cashier made a mistake. And she took this, and she knew it, and she walked out. And I knew she knew it because later on she said, "Well, that's why she quickly walked out before he caught it, before the attendant caught it." And that is the deceptiveness of Ananias and Sapphira. We see there, you know, when they went and they sold the land they had, they didn't have to lay everything in at the foot there, but they made it appear that they did as the others. That is what God struck them dead. They could have laid in what they wanted to and just been honest about it. But you know, but yet at the same time, they didn't go and tell anybody that they laid it all in either. So I'm just saying, may we keep a sensitive spirit in our walk with Jesus Christ. And the only way to keep that is finding that sweet relationship with Jesus every day of our life. And that comes by taking the Word of God, reading it out, seeking His will for our life. And if we do that, He will bless us in a great way. You know, and then after being born again, one more thing here, then I'll go on some more practical things here. But after being born again, received the Holy Spirit, you know, the love that we had for one another as brothers, we enjoyed getting together. We enjoyed getting together and singing and praying. And we enjoyed getting together just to hear the Word of God. And my question today, is that the same? Says in 1 John, says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath the world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. And it's, where are we at there? Do we still have that love for one another as we did back 15 or 12, 14, 16 years ago? Are we able to lay our life down for each other? For His ideas? I know Steve spoke on that last Sunday. I think it was last Sunday. Some there on Romans 14 there. But there, it's something that we can ponder in our hearts. Is our love for each other there? And it says, for this is the love of God. Let me just read 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth Him and hath begot, loveth Him also that begotten of Him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh this world. And this is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh this world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So is that still precious in our sight when we run in with a brother, you know, at a restaurant or a bank or a grocery store or whatever? Is that still exciting to us? Yesterday, Rhett and I went to the bank, and we got there, and was brother and sister there, and we had to go back in the back room. Before we went back there, another brother walked in, and it was just it's always exciting to see them, especially in amongst of where there was a bunch of darkness. There was a lot of people in there yesterday. Then we went in the back room and came out, and there was several more brothers and sisters in there, and it seemed like we just had a time in there talking and cheering for a little bit. So I trusted that will never vanish from us, just the love of a brother. And the Scripture makes it clear that that's how we know that we love God, when we love the brother. So what son are ye today? Are we finding victory over sin today? And I'm talking about habitual sin. Because the Bible says that that ye are of God, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than the one that's in this world. They are of this world, therefore speak of the world, and the world heareth them. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And may that be a heart. May we understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And yes, as brothers, as we walk, there's going to be error among us. If you look at my life, you'll find it. And that's where we need the Spirit of God to come alongside each brother, and to comfort and lift up, and to if we have to, lay down our life for them. And I pray that is where our heart is at. Are we finding ourselves at this time, after many years, are we finding ourselves all of a sudden becoming angry, or maybe getting upset easily, or are we finding ourselves just being moody? You know, whatever it may be. You know, as in a Christian life, especially in the workplace or people that are around us, there is no room for. I can say this, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me. In a place where there's a bunch of unconverted people around, or dealing with them, I don't believe that there's a place in a Christian's life that where there can be all of a sudden an outburst of anger. Because that's what the world sees all the time of their life. They see people that get upset. They see people get angry. They see people mad. In the Christian's life, I believe that there is a high calling for the children of God to walk in this life honestly and walking in sobriety in love. The world is full of people that are angry. I mean, we meet those people all the time. But if those people see Christians in that manner, what for testimony is that? Just not just maybe just not outburst, maybe just moody, maybe just not friendly. So these are questions. Where are you at on that? Or how do we find our time or time alone? Just the other day I was home and all alone, and you know, there I am. That is who I am. So that is who you are when you are alone. Youth, if you're home alone someday, and you are on your phone, and you are searching your phone for whatever it may be, if it's evil things, or if you're in there watching sports, or if you're in there watching soap operas, or if you're watching whatever it may be, I can tell you that is who you are. If you want to quickly know who you are, and I'm not just saying that just can't happen on a one day thing, and you know that happens, and you repent of it. But if that's a regular habitual thing, that's who you are. You are, but if you're also an encouragement note, if you are there and they're searching the phone, if you got the phone and you're searching up verses and searching up things that inspire you, that's who you are. Praise the Lord. So just to do a quick check when you're by yourself, what you love doing when nobody's there, that is basically who we are. And I had wrote down here also, or how do we treat, or what do we do about somebody? How should I say that? I'll just put it this: are we gossiping about another brother's weaknesses in this life? Are we talking about his weaknesses instead of praying for him? Maybe this time of the year, as we're getting closer to the tax season, maybe we're trying to hide some money to save us some money in taxes. And I ask this question: what son are you? Now, I trust I'm not adding any condemnation. I'm just asking. Because I can tell you, as I've gone through here, this message, I think, was for me more than anything. Just to be honest with God in all things. And I trust that we never lost our first love, that we are searching on. But if Satan is destroying some of the things in our life, what I want to quickly say is that we still have a life. I mean, we still have life, but yet we still have an opportunity to seek out God in a deeper way. Or you know, or in Acts here 6. Or are we as Stephen? And this is the heart of God for us. This is what He wants us to be. It says that Stephen, he was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. It says, then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Syrians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And that is how the world should see us today. Yeah, they're gonna for the most part. They killed Jesus. They killed all the disciples, and the world does hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. But yet, through all this, they're gonna find fault in you and find fault in me. But yet, here with Stephen, he said he was full of faith and of power, but they were not able to resist that wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They seen the power of God in his life. And the world should be able to see that in us as well, even if it's years down the road. Then also when they went to martyr Stephen, it says that after he got done sharing with this group of people, here the Jews, and it says that he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And when they heard these things, they were cut to heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it says that he looked up steadfast into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So are we full of the Holy Ghost as Stephen here was? And Stephen was being challenged in the utmost way in his faith. Do we have that great faith? as it says in Hebrews, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Are we able just to trust in the Lord Jesus in all things? Are we full of that joy? Are we full of joy of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do we have that great joy that abounding in us? Or do we let the things of this world quench out the joy? Are we content the things that we have? Or are we coveting for more? Do we get excited about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the others, the lost, the dying, people around us? Do we have a burden for lost souls? Do we have a love for the truth and the truth only? Or do we compromise for our own self, for our own gain? What son are ye? Or do we have a critical spirit with others? Or do we have a complaining spirit? Maybe a spirit of rebellion. Maybe we're like the rich man. It says there was a certain rich man which clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And he didn't care about the beggar on his porch. He said he fared sumptuously every day. What son are we? What son are ye? I should maybe put that we. Yeah, what I should have done. But I titled it, what son are ye? But anyway, as we go on, Paul said here that we should be good ministers of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 4, it says that Yes, it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. It says, nourish up the words of faith and a good doctrine, wherein thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather into godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promised the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptations. For wherefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. That we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and speak. And he says, take these things. He said, command these and teach these. And also he says here, that he says, Paul exhorts the brethren. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. He says, then he goes, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then he asks us, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace in the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we see here, as he is laid out for the brethren, Paul exhorts the brethren there, and this, as we read through this, this still should be an exhortation for us today, is that we would render none evil for evil, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Then he says, rejoice evermore. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Just not staying away from evil. Anything that has an appearance of evil, he says, stay away. So the question, what son are you? Where are we at when we get confronted with evil? Or something that has an evil tint to it? What do we do? Paul says here in Colossians that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, into all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, then who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even of the forgiveness of sins. That we would walk worthy in the Lord to all pleasing. I think back here he says something about that we would be walking wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Then let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. And that is the heart of God. We see that Christ, he wants us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says all these other things will be added unto you. Now, I don't have a long message today. I got a few more thoughts here in closing. And I just want to encourage that it says, if we take this Word of God, the Bible here, if we read the Word of God, meditate upon the words, and we speak, we take time, seek God in prayer, asking Jesus to show us all things that pertaineth to righteousness and godliness, and just not be, you know, just not be hearers of the Word, but also be doers, God will do a mighty work in our life. He will change us in a great way. It will make a difference in a person's life if we're struggling in this life. Because here it says in Matthew, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that is, the weak and the poor are those that see their need, and they're often falling on their knees. Those are the weak and beggarly. And he says, blessed are you, those that are poor in spirit. For those that see that by themselves, without the blood of Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without God doing a work, we are nothing. When we die, we go back to the dirt, and we're just nothing but flesh. We are but flesh without Christ. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you and falsely for my name's sake. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Then he says, ye, talking to the children of God here, ye are the salt of this earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, if we have lost our first love, if we have lost our zeal, it says, if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. It says, ye are the light of this world, talking about the children of God. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel basket or a candlestick, and giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory your Father, which is in heaven. And I trust that is the heart of us in here today, that we have a light that's burning vibrantly. And people can see that we've been with Jesus, as it was Paul and Silas, I think. That when they came out, they could see that they've been with Jesus because they had a glow into their life. And that can be that way, even 15 years, 16 years later, if we don't let the things of this life, things of this world, interact or get in the way. A few more verses here. Peter says here, besides this, giving all diligence to add your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. And to temperance, into knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and into patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off. And it says that he hath forgotten what he was purged from his old sins. If we lacketh these things, the knowledge and the temperance and the love of God, and it says faith, virtue, whatever it may be, brotherly kindness, charity. If we forget these things, it says that we're going to forget that we were purged from our old sins. But he goes on and says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. So the question, what son are you? Brothers, I want to leave you with that. And I trust that our heart is someday that we can enter into the kingdom of God. As they talked about heaven this morning, but as I see heaven, yes, I see it as a beautiful place. I see it as it talks about here in Revelations, it says that the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass, jasper, sapphire, all of these emeralds and all these stones. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it says, then as Jesus went and showed John here, and he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There should be no more curse. But the throne of God has a Lamb. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. That's a beautiful picture. In the throne, there's God and the Lamb. Should be in it. That's what makes heaven so beautiful to me, just to be in the midst of them. And it says, and we will see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. So it's going to be evident in this life that His name today will be on our foreheads as we walk this life. People are able to see if we are children of God or if we love the things of this world. There shall be no more night, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. He's there. He'll giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. He says, amen. And he says, he says, Christ is to come quickly. He says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecies of this book. And when John saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel which showed me these things. The feet of the angel. And I wasn't going to read this, but I just thought on that. The angel said, John, he said, don't worship me. He said, I'm just like you. And that's what heaven, we're all going to be equal in there. The same purpose is to worship the Lamb and God. And I trust that is our heart today. That we will not lose sight. We will not lose vision. Is what the plan that Christ had for us years ago. He saved each and every one of us in here today for one purpose. And that was to bring glory and honor to Him, that He could be worshipped and be glorified, and also
to save the lost around us. May we not lose the sight of that, what He wants to use us for. So may God bless you. And I want to open my life, open my message. If I said anything that I shouldn't have, you are welcome to share it with me.